This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Green and White, the weekly Argyle Life podcast. Apologies for the lack of a podcast last week, unfortunately scheduling issues. Blame who you like, perhaps you'd like to blame Sam for being on holiday, having the cheek to go away when we're trying to record Plymouth Argyle podcast. Unfortunately we weren't able to record, but we'll be back with a weekly podcast from now on. I'm your host Josh, and with us this week we've got Nick.
Hello.
Sam.
Hello.
And Fraser.
Good evening.
Just a quick reminder that for all the articles and up-to-date Argyle news and analysis, make sure you check us out, Argyle Life on Facebook and Argyle Life 1886 on Twitter and on Instagram. You can also make sure you don't miss another podcast by subscribing to Green and White on Spotify or iTunes, where the new episode is uploaded each week. This week, Argyle played two games since we last recorded. They played away at Northampton, where I believe I'm right in saying that we were lost 3-1.
You've forgotten the midweek game against Bristol.
We've actually played three games since you last recorded.
I don't count.
But fair enough.
Even then, there was the Reading game in the League Cup as well.
Okay, all right, smart ass. Okay, so there was a Reading game that we lost, a Northampton game which we lost, a friendly against Bristol Rovers, and a draw against Oldham Athletic, which finished 2-2. I'll be honest, having been to the game on Saturday, it must be one of the most forgettable 90 minutes of football I've ever watched, because I can barely remember a thing that happened. But I'll open it up to the man with the biggest head and therefore the biggest brain, so subsequently I'm assuming the biggest memory. Sam, what did you make of the game? We'll start recent, okay? So we'll go Oldham, because I'm not sure anyone went to Northampton.
Thank you, Josh. I had a lovely holiday as well, and much better than recording the podcast, I have to say. No, I thought the Oldham game came in for a lot of criticism. I don't think it was that bad, really, in all truth. It wasn't the best we've ever played. We wasn't the most coherent. We didn't really control the game, maybe as well as we have done it against, say, for example, Walsall or a couple of other games, but ultimately, we very much out-created them. We had our two goals, and then we had three other chances that were pretty good chances. We had Taylor in the first half, fired over, should have got it on target. There was the Cooper chance quite early in the second half, and there was the absolute one that the one that was the best chance of all was the Rudden chance late on that was one-on-one, and he just couldn't get it into the net. So I think ultimately, we made enough chances that probably three or four times out of five, we would have won that game. Not the most amazing performance in the world, but perhaps not as bad as some critics are saying. I think there is a positive platform to build on. Cooper looks a really good player. I think I'd like to see him start a bit more often, either at right wing back or in central midfield, one of the two. And yeah, overall, I think there is positive stuff. And I think when you get one of the other strikers back in, one of Joel Grant or Telford, I'm confident that games like that we will start to win a bit more often.
Can I ask? What's been the criticism about the game?
Well, have you not seen Pistotti in free chat? Everyone's moaning about it, aren't they? Everyone's
oh yeah, saying, people loved
it. Oh, it's tippy tappy football, no end product, all that kind of stuff, aren't they?
We scored two goals. I mean, that's how many games did we score more than one goal in last season? What? Sorry, like you said, we comprehensively outcreated them. You've got Rudden's goal and Moore's goal. Both are tap-ins. We score one of them. We've got a series of pretty much great chances to score. We've got Wootton's goal, free header right in front of goal. We had Byron Moore had a pretty damn good chance, which he saw blocked when he should have just cut inside. We'd have had a free shot at goal. Cooper's shot you mentioned. Taylor's that he missed. You're forgetting McFadzean clean through, but from a narrow angle, he hit just wide. You got a couple of positions where we had really good attacking positions, like when Danny Mayer skipped past one, cut it to Taylor, but played the wrong pass. He should have gone to Byron Moore on the other side. That was a wasted opportunity. That was a 3-on-2. And then he had Joe Riley with a dreadful cutback for Jose Baxter, which would have been a clean shot at goal from about 10 yards unmarked to make it 2-1 had he scored. I mean, we comprehensively outcreated them, and they scored from a corner and a very well-struck shot from the corner of the box, plus that one big chance they had as a result of Wootton giving it away. I don't know why people would be complaining about attacking. This is probably our, in terms of chances created, I don't think we've had a game in which we've actually played better in attack, have we? Certainly not Salford, where we had a lot of the ball but not many chances. Certainly not Orient, where we scored a couple of good goals after half time but didn't create too much. Certainly not Colchester. I mean, Walsall runs it close, but we created more good chances in this game than any other game.
I think by and large, he's correct. I think for me, and this isn't necessarily a criticism, although it might sound like one now I've said that, it's knowing what we could be. I think that's almost the most frustrating bit for me watching the team. I think Nick's right. We created more chances than any game I can remember this season. But there's that element of that we're not quite running at full pace. We're not quite clicking. I think another game, Taylor scores, Cooper scores, Rudden scores. We all leave the stadium over the moon with such a really good attack and display. I think the frustration for me at least comes from what could have been, or perhaps what should have been. It was 2 points dropped from a game we really shouldn't have. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think there are lots of positives to be taken. We're certainly playing better football than we were last season. We've not abandoned Ryan Lowe's sort of tactics or approach just when things have got difficult. But I think the frustration comes from what the results could be, as opposed to it being a disappointing result of the two all.
I agree, and I think part of it is this: we've still got players learning the system, and also the starting 11, you could say, possibly isn't quite where maybe if we had a fully fit squad and everyone's available. It's, I think, the squad on Saturday was close, but not quite there in terms of what our strongest 11 would look like, because I really don't think that Ryan Taylor would be in it, and I'm struggling to see how Joe Riley would be in it either. I just don't think he's enough of an attacking threat on the right hand side.
You'd want Engston in as well, wouldn't you, for one of the defenders?
But it's less of a, I think it's less of a, well, having said that, they've conceded a lot of goals in the last few games, so obviously I would expect him to come in soon for, well, it'll be for Wootton or Canavan, you think, if Josh Grant keeps his place. But I think probably looking at Telford, Cooper, players, those sort of players away from being our best side. And if those two had, obviously Telford's not available at the moment, but if those two had played, or when we get to a point where those two do play and they're playing regularly and we've got our strongest 11, we might be more of a threatening outfit, I think. It might look a little bit more complete as a group and as a team.
Yeah, I do agree. I think whilst we're probably all in agreement then that the chance creation was pretty good, and that people saying that we didn't really offer much going forward, I think we can all agree that they're probably inaccurate. But if we're going to look at flaws, then maybe the defensive side of it, they got a couple of goals and counter-attacks where they didn't have a lot of chances really, which was kind of a trend we've seen a few times this season. I know Nick said Newport was a similar story. They didn't have a lot of chances, but they got us on the counter. Salford, they didn't have a huge deal of the ball or a huge deal of chances. Again, they got us twice on the counter.
Yeah.
Is that becoming something to...
I'd say Salford had a bit more than that. Salford were good on the counter.
Salford were good on that. Fair enough. Salford were good on the counter, but even looking maybe at the, not such a clear example, even looking maybe at the Reading game when we were getting a really good run of play together at 2-1 up, again, they hit us on the counter and that very much turned the game. So is our defence and are we generally as a team vulnerable to counter-attacks? What's the thoughts on that?
I think we will be because we're an in-possession side, but the better we are in the ball and the better we get, better we are in possession and the more we improve on the ball, and the better that we can retain and keep and recycle the ball, the less exposed we'll be to counter-attacks. I think because part of it is because we're not the finished article, so maybe it can be a little bit hit and miss going forward. Maybe some of the decision-making isn't quite there yet. Players are still getting used to who they're playing with. So there are perhaps more turnovers in possession than we might see later in the season. I mean, if you think about it, some of the very top sides in Europe, I use them as example in Man City, you would look to play them on the counter-attack, but because they have the ball so much, you can't hit them on the counter-attack because you'd never get possession. And I think that's sort of, I guess in the philosophy, will be almost how you counter it. So we're going to stop being counter-attack because we're going to keep the ball better. If that sort of makes sense.
I think it's something we need to improve on slightly. I think one thing I touched on after that game, and I know Ryan Lowe made a comment about it in terms of our decision-making when it came to passing, is that sometimes I feel at the moment we keep possession too well when we're drawing or we're behind, and then we attack too... Or sorry, not when we're behind. We keep the ball at silly times. When we should be a little bit more ambitious, we're keeping the ball and playing 5-yard passes or a backward pass into the defence. And at times when we should be a bit more ambitious, or the other way around, sorry, in times when we should be keeping the ball, we're being a little bit more ambitious. I think it's just that decision-making amongst the players sometimes in midfield as to when actually just keeping the ball is the best decision or when looking to create an opportunity is. And that's going to come with time. And let's also not forget, we're talking about League Two footballers here. We're not talking about, and I appreciate the analogy with Man City, but it's easy to throw those names around, but we haven't got a David Silva, you know, or a Kevin De Bruyne. So these guys are going to make the wrong decision from time to time.
Have and got that's a Danny Mayer.
Well, he's not bad, but if we had a straight swap with Guardiola for Kevin De Bruyne, I think I might just go with KDB, I'm afraid.
I think Mayer would stand out in Man City.
He'd stand out, but I'm not sure it would be for the right reasons.
The comparison's more just sort of how you can avoid being in those scenarios, obviously without setting up naturally more defensively, which would be pretty much the other option. I mean, Guardiola talked when he was at Barcelona, how the reason that he wanted to, one of the reasons behind wanting to play possession football was because he identified individual defenders as people he didn't want to be exposed to too many defensive situations because he didn't rate them especially highly as defenders. So he thought that the best way around that was to keep the ball and stop exposing them to as many situations where they would be challenged. We're not at that level, but we've got lots of players, I think, who are more than capable of playing at a level and have played at a level above League Two. I've said it before with Ryan Lowe's system. I think it's a system that will get better the higher up that he manages because the quality of player, certainly technically, but tactically as well, and as that improves, I think his system will improve as well. So difficult to get it right in League Two, but the higher up we go, perhaps with us, perhaps with someone else, whatever happens with him, is that tactical system will get better and better as the quality of players improve.
Is it worth speaking about Riley?
Yeah. Who hates Joe Riley? Sam does.
I don't think he should be a first-choice player. I'm not so completely anti him. I think he's got a lot of good points about him. His defensive work is... Yeah, I know Saturday there were a lot of defensive flaws, left Wootton a bit isolated, but generally throughout the season his defensive work's been pretty good. He's tended to get up and down the line well, but it's been his end product hasn't been good enough. I don't think he stands out as being a like a terrible player. I think I'd be more than happy to have him as our regular backup wing back throughout the season. But I think if he is going to is he going to be that player who plays 40, 50 games a season in a promotion team? I think that, well, you know, he could be that, but I think if he did do that, he would very much be the weakest player in that team. And I think to maximise our chances of potentially getting top seven or top three, we need to probably look at replacing him as the first choice option with Sarcevic or George Cooper.
I think we were a little bit exposed on that, but personally I think we were exposed down our right hand side. I know quite often they look for diagonal balls over the top of Wooten's head and they look to exploit us that way. And actually, if they're going to do that, there's always going to be space between a right-sided centre-back and a wing-back. So you might as well play someone who's going to be much more productive going forward. And his end product, again, was poor on Saturday.
But then, sorry, on the defensive side, defensively, he was weak, though. He was almost too high in defensive phases. When we're defending without the ball, he needs to also almost drop alongside Wooten into a 5-3-2 at right-back, the same way McFadden often does at left-back. Because the space outside of that three is where the real danger is for them to get around and whip a ball in behind. Their goal, you can see it in their goal, he's too far up and they exploit that space to get around Wooten. If he's further back, if he drops in, then there's no problem. He intercepts the ball. And there was another moment in, I think I've got it down to the 36th minute, where this time he does get back in the end to cover. But if he's back in the first place, then they don't almost get him behind. And while he has been better defensively throughout the season, this was probably his worst game defensively, I'd say.
I think what's interesting, though, is that, you know, I appreciate what people believe about Riley. Riley's started every single game this season in the league. So there's obviously something that Ryan Lowe sees in him. I think to offer a little bit of an argument for his selection, I thought at least he came back from pre-season looking like he was in great shape. I know he had a difficult year on and off the pitch last season. Hopefully that's behind him now, or at least as much as it can be. And Lowe has obviously put his faith in him. Now, I'm not going to say he's had anywhere near the contribution of McFadden on the other side, who's arguably been one of, if not our best player of the campaign so far. But there must be something that Ryan Lowe is seeing in him to constantly pick him. And at this stage, after only seven games, Sam, you said, is he going to be part of a promotion-winning team? Well, I think he could be. I see no reason, if he's alongside the likes of Danny Mayer, who's playing every single game, and this is the team it's going to be, it wouldn't shock me I still believe we're going to get promotion, with or without Riley in the starting lineup. Now, that isn't to say he hasn't got flaws, but I don't think he's the sort of player that is going to cost us a number of points, is going to see us cost us a position in the top three or beyond. So,
I see what you mean. I think he could be a regular player in a promotion winning team, but let's look at our 16-17 season. We had a lot of players who were regulars in that team who probably, in theory, weren't good enough for promotion, but ended up being so. Like, I think Gary Miller and Songo played more than half our games that season. They're not really, for me, what you would call stellar League Two players, but so I think it is possible for teams
to. Yeah, they got promotion.
I'm agreeing with you in a way. I think it's possible for teams to sort of carry weaker players, but I do think it would be that. I do think he would be a weaker link. I'm not saying that if he, because like I said, with those examples, it isn't cast iron that if he plays the majority of games, we will not go up, because football's not as simple as that, because players can kind of be helped by the players around them. But I think he would be. Notably one of our weaker links.
Whether he could be or not, I don't think it's really relevant. What I think is relevant is that the question that should be relevant should be, is there someone better at the club for that position in that role than Joe Riley? And if Ryan Lowe comes back and says, no, it's Joe Riley, he's the best one for that formation, okay, brilliant, we'll go with it. If he comes back and he thinks, oh, maybe George Cooper, I know people have pushed for Sarcevic, people from our life have pushed for Sarcevic in that role. I don't think he's seen it yet. Maybe we've not tagged him in enough tweets. That's the question for me. Is Joe Riley the best that we've got for that role? And I don't know if Lowe sees Cooper in that right wing back.
According to FIFA, it's him or Taff. I mean, the FIFA ratings come out today, and there are two best players, so apart from maybe Scott Wooten. So, FIFA thinks so. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Danny Mayer's rating, but he's pants. Sell him.
It's mad. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, they were not done by anyone who's watched Plymouth Argyle, I don't think.
In serious answer to your question, I think when Cooper came on, he looked good. Obviously, it's very early days into his Argyle career. I think a little bit like we had to see with Baxter. He's probably not going to start for the next week or two. Probably going to need to get out for that. You know, there's a difference between being fit and being match fit. But I think he's been brought in for a reason, hasn't he? You know, he's not. We've not loaned him in to sit on the bench, I don't think. So you'd expect him to probably play in that position, I'd imagine. I don't think he's going to play in the centre of midfield. I think that's where he's looking for. But
he played wing back against Bristol Rovers.
Yeah, no, I think we'll see though.
And he wasn't too bad there against Bristol Rovers.
I think, as we've said before in this podcast, one thing that I think Ryan Lowe is going to do, which Derek Adams didn't do last season, and we covered this in depth last year, is he's going to rotate the squad. I don't think there's going to be, you know, there's going to be players like Danny Mayer and probably McFadzean who start every game that they're available to play. But I do think that the majority of players are going to be switched in and out. And I think that's a good thing, because last season we saw it to our detriment where Derek Adams liked 14 players and the others just sat on the bench, twiddled their thumbs. And, you know, we had the Taylor-Ladapo argument, but there's probably three or four of those arguments across the field last season. So I think we'll see Cooper, but I think we'll see just as much of Riley throughout the season, and they'll probably alternate.
Yeah, on Riley, like, just looking at his attacking output, you look at McFadzean on the left, who obviously created Moore's goal on Saturday, and what very much could have and possibly should have been the winner for Rudden. He created the tap-in for Moore that he missed against Northampton. He created the tap-in for Taylor. He obviously won the penalty for Salford. So he's been the main, you know, the principal creative threat on the end of Danny Mayer's mazy runs, obviously. But, you know, he's been the one delivering the final ball.
But
then you sort of contrast it with Riley and what Riley's done.
But I think we can...
And he hasn't really done too much to actually create.
We can use that as a criticism for Riley. And again, I'm not saying Riley has been at a level of McFadzean, because he hasn't. But all we can use it as praise for McFadzean. He's had a fantastic start to the season. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be expecting more of all our players. But just, you know, let's look at the glass half full and say McFadzean's had a fantastic start to the season, then, oh, bloody hell, why can't our other wing-back play as well as him?
No, I think that what I was going to go on to say is that you can sort of see why, and the part of the reason why is McFadzean's making these great runs in behind. So, Mayer can... So you said on Sunday, I think it was, that the reason that we're not doing as much on the right is because Mayer can dribble past anyone on the left, to which I counted, if you look at any of those goals that he set up, Mayer's only actually dribbled past one person for the goal against, for Byron Moore's goal against against Oldham this weekend. The rest of them have just been simple passes and a good run off the ball, and we haven't seen that from Riley. And we've seen a similar thing whereby... shots in the quote-unquote danger zone, right? So shots within the width of the six-yard box in the box themselves. McFadzean's got eight, Riley's got none, which says you can see that McFadzean knows how to come in off the wing and get into that goal-scoring position. Riley as yet doesn't. He's playing a bit like a fullback there. That's not to say drop Riley, it's to say this is the specific thing that Riley needs to work on to improve, otherwise he's, you know, probably going to be dropped. But it's also worth noting that even with a lesser, let's be kind, a lesser creative return from Riley, we're still one of the top scorers in the division, regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more of a question of making us from a good attacking team to this level up to an excellent one, isn't it? We're going to be a good attacking team for this level, even with Riley, because we've got so much quality in other areas, aren't we? So ultimately, yeah, it is a question of kind of being a bit picky, being a bit pernickety. Probably a more immediate concern that needs addressing. It's probably the back three. I think Wootton, Welshy certainly has been improved on last season. Nobody's denying that. Still, I think, isn't quite of the level we want for a promotion team. So I think try Ainsley, Canavan, Josh Grant in some permutation. Try them as the back three, and hopefully we should see the goals conceded go down a bit.
Did Ainsley played in the middle of the back three last year? Is that right?
No, he played on the right.
Did he play on the right? Okay, then that's a natural fit. Who played? Was it? I've forgotten
Adam
his name.
Thompson.
That's
Adam
the
Thompson
one. Who else played at the back for them?
Stokes and O'Connell, and they also had a guy on loan called Scott Wharton, who's currently on loan to Northampton, but didn't play against us because he was injured.
Okay, that makes sense.
Fair enough.
It was mostly Chris Stokes, wasn't it? He was the one who was more.
No, it was mostly now, O'Connell.
If I remember rightly. What I looked at. No. Okay, where's he now?
I think it was he left for Rochdale, I think, in the summer as part of Bury's total and utter collapse.
Yeah, so I think
it was quite evenly distributed between those three on the left, to be fair.
I think it'll end up probably being Ameson in for Wooten, then I would expect. I'd be surprised that doesn't happen if he played on the right side last year.
It was interesting. I think it was you, Josh, that said this or wrote something about this in the week, which I think is a really, really good point, well made, about defending from set pieces. Canavan is a little bit more of a physical presence than Wooten, so probably helps defending them. And I've been a fan of Sawyer and I've sung his praises, but my apologies. I'm giving you some credit there, Josh. You should
take it.
That's
all right. Can you edit that bit about it being Adamak, please?
Yeah. But I think it was a good point. I think, you know, defensively from set pieces, we do lack a little bit of an aerial presence. And Ameson, you know, he's a big chap. So hopefully he's all right in the air. But I imagine he'd come in for Wooten and we'd keep Canavan's. He's a little bit, you know, he's not huge as he can, a huge difference, sorry. But I imagine he'll sit in the centre.
It's not just that, though, because when, forget about the centre-backs, think about the rest of the team defending set pieces. Edwards is pretty small. He's competitive and rugged, but he's small. Baxter's not tall. Mayer's decent at winning headers, but he's not exactly tall and strong. Do you remember the save that Palmer made against Newport? That was a header one against Callum McFadzean. That was one of their centre-backs against McFadzean at the back post. So no wonder he lost the header.
Taylor contributes a lot for defensive corners.
Yeah. If we're going to drop him, then we're really lacking height. So, yeah, we really run the risk that a team's going to pick us off.
Hey, we'll get Dom Telford a stepladder.
Just to have two one-on-one shoulders. Might be able to do something that
That's
way.
That's a great way of defending corners. But sorry, Dom, climb on my shoulders, would you?
At the front post. Just imagine that, though. Just flinging Dom. Throwing Telford at the ball, hoping he gets a flick on it. Basically defending it the way they defend lineouts in rugby.
Yeah, perfect. This is genius.
Revolutionary.
That it would be, yeah. Yeah, I think that height certainly is an issue. I think Josh Grant obviously helps with that a little bit. Coming in as a more natural centre-back, so more of a natural aerial presence.
Thus far he hasn't been that good in the air. He's been about the same as Sawyer. I think Sawyer's actually outperforming him in the air.
Is he? We haven't been threatened a lot in the air, have we? Since Grant's
No, but
place?
Josh Grant still lost a fair few headers. He hasn't lost too many, but he's sort of in the Sawyer territory, in that he's a bit of a fullback winning headers rather than a centre-back.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's just... And then also Ameson can offer something going forward as well, because he was their most lethal threat from corners last season from their centre-backs. He got most goals and most assists, I think, from centre-backs.
How many did he score?
Four goals.
And which, to be fair, is probably something needed, because that goal we scored on Saturday, that's actually the first goal we scored from a set-piece, isn't it? That's indirectly from a set-piece.
Minus Riley's free kick.
That's what you said in your article, Nick.
What did you... Adam's article.
Yeah,
it was Riley scoring a free kick.
Okay, it was Adam's article, okay.
No, but, nonsense, so it's all Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. In terms of anyone but Adam, clearly, in terms of a header that was directly from a free kick or corner, which Bury got a lot last season, that one on Saturday was our first one, so it would be good to have a few more, so maybe Ameson will help there. So I think when you factor it in, the fact we're kind of, at the moment, I've seen it said one win in seven in all competitions, which is technically true, because the Bristol Rovers was a draw, you know, it was a win on penalty, but it was a draw. So technically it is one win in seven, and that does sound a bit alarming, but... There were always going to be teething problems. There's always going to be a very difficult system to learn. There's going to be a lot of games like this season. I've got no doubt of that. And I think ultimately we're not a million miles away. Just get a few little tweaks in, get Ameson in, get Cooper in. That'll be a good start. And then then hopefully I think we'll see ourselves winning a few more games.
So we'll look ahead to the next game, which is on Saturday against. Don't tell me. Is it Crawley?
No, that's no. Tuesday.
Is that on Tuesday?
That's the following Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not that far out, is it?
No,
you need to piss yourself laughing,
call
Sam.
Yourself
it's not that funny.
I think Nick laughed more than I did.
I don't know. Nick might have, but I probably wouldn't have heard him because of his
Fair
Wi-Fi.
Point. Fair point.
Shocking trying to deflect the blame. You can do, yeah. I still don't care. Mansfield. No, that's coming up.
No.
I can just guess League Two teams if you like.
It's away. I'll give you that clue at least.
He already said away.
Oh, did he? I'll get near that.
I don't know, and I can't be bothered to Google it.
Port Vale.
Portsmouth. That was a deliberate joke.
I assume that was a joke, yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Port Vale, then. When was the last time we played Port Vale?
2013.
I can only remember the FA Cup rematch. That's the only game I can remember. That was years ago.
Yeah.
That was 2013-14.
Conor Hourihan had an absolute worldie, yeah. Isaac Vassell started, I believe.
Yeah, it was crap.
Yep, pretty much.
It was actually rubbish in that game. Lots of running, nothing.
Yeah. So, Port Vale. Anything, Nick, you're the analyst. Tell us a bit about Port Vale.
Port Vale, my main concern would be that they've got the players to do to us what Northampton did to us, which is they've got a couple of fast wingers and a central striker who can just go man for man on our back three, and that's basically what Northampton did to cut us off at source. So if they do that, we could be in a bit of trouble. On top of that, it's also worth remembering that when Bury played Cambridge last season, before David Amu moved to Port Vale, he absolutely tore Lowe's back three to pieces. He should have scored two. I think he only got one in the end and created another one, something like that. So worth looking out for him, probably starting from the right, so up against Josh Grant. Otherwise, they're very average, not exactly particularly good, but if they try and do what Northampton did, they could be a genuine threat.
Right, I see. Okay, that makes sense.
To be fair, there was a lot of funny stuff going on at Bury late in the season, wasn't there? So that was obviously an impact that isn't necessarily going to happen now, but obviously he's a good player and it'll be an impact for sure.
Yeah, we'll go for some predictions. So who'd like to start me off with some predictions?
I think we're going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think we'll be quite exposed at the back for the reasons Nick said, but also they're not really anything special. I think we're capable of getting some good play going against them, so 2-2 draw.
Cool, Fraser?
Optimistic. I think we'll smash them 4-0.
Like it. What about you, Nick?
I think we'll win. I'll go for 2-1. Attacking's been good recently. I don't think they're that special. I think we can beat them.
And I'll go. I'm also a fan of predicting our goal to win. So actually, sorry, I've just looked at my phone then and I completely lost my train of thought.
I think that one team at some point is going to be up on absolute drubbing. I think they're,
Well, you think it's going to be Port Vale.
Yeah, and I do. I think at some point in the next few weeks, something's going to click. It's going to work. It could have been Carlisle. It could have been Oldham. If it's been Carlisle already this season, that would have been impressive. But I think some team is going to get drubbing. And we've not... Get your bets on. We're hammering Carlisle as well. But this weekend, we're going to hammer Port Vale. I think... We saw, as you alluded to, Nick, at the start, we created a lot of chances. Another day we could have had 5 goals last weekend. It wasn't perfect, but I reckon something's going to click this weekend. We've not won as many in the last couple of games as we should have done. Let's have some optimism, boys. 4-0.
Like it. I'll finish this off with... I'll go 2-1. I think I've predicted us to win pretty much every game that I've predicted on here. So I'll keep with that and I'll say a 2-1 victory to Argyle. Joe Riley to score twice and reveal a T-shirt that says "Screw you, Nick Saunders Smith" on it.
I've been not too bad. That much bad stuff, have I?
It's all right. You don't have to justify yourself to me, Nick. Okay, that is the end of the show. Thank you all so much for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes and to check us out at argyle.life. From all of us here, thank you and goodbye.
Good evening.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.